This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Local artist Nancy Schoen is best known for her Make Ways for Duckling sculpture in the Boston Public Garden. But back in the mid-1990s, Schoen learned that skateboarders were doing tricks on another of her sculptures, Tortoise and Hare in Copley Square.
Somebody said to me, Nancy, they're doing their ollies. They're doing their ollies on your tortoise and hare. And I found out that the ollies, that was the move that the kids do, the skateboard kids do. And I said, oh my God, they said they're ruining your sculpture. So I ran down to Copley Square and I was mad as I could be. And I started to talk to these kids. You know, they dress funny and they have, sometimes they have, earrings and things that were new at that time. Well, the more I talked to them, the more I discovered they were wonderful kids.
So sculptor Nancy Schoen became an advocate for a new idea in Boston, building a skate park for the boarders. The Charles River Skate Park was proposed to be built in East Cambridge, right under the Zakim Bridge, and would be open not just to skateboarders, but also to BMX riders and inline skaters.
But that was more than a decade ago. Since then, the project has churned through several different designers and been hurt by the economic downturn, and hopeful skateboarders have gotten more and more frustrated.
So it's no wonder many are skeptical about news that plans for the skate park are finally ready to roll. Planners presented design options at a public meeting last night at the Boston Public Library.
With us to talk about the status of the park is Renata von Scharner. She's president of the Charles River Conservancy, which is heading up the project. Renata, thanks for coming to the studio. We're also joined by Canton Russell. He's a former professional skateboarder, and he's now a project manager at Stantec, which is the company designing the Charles River Skate Park. And Canton, I believe you're joining us by cell phone from an airport. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
Great. So I hope the connection's good. And we just want to say to our listeners, we're very eager to hear what you hear about this. Do you think Boston needs a skate park? Is it already behind the time? Should it have built one 10 years ago? Do you oppose the idea? Let us know at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Renata, you have been involved in this project since basically the very beginning. Could you give us a brief rundown of why it has taken so long to get to the point we're at now?
Yes, well, I understand why skaters are frustrated. And yes, I have been working on that project probably for 12 years. It started with a class at Harvard's Radcliffe Seminar where I was teaching landscape students, and they were designing the space underneath the Zakim Bridge, and to design a skate park was their assignment. And then when the Charles River Conservancy, when that started in 2000, we made that part of the agenda of the Charles River Conservancy. So for 12 years or more, I had this vision in mind for a skate park underneath the Zakim Bridge.
And what has held it up? Why not? Why has it taken more than a decade?
Well, first of all, it is very rare. It might well be the only case in the country that a non-profit builds a skate park. Skate parks are normally built by municipalities. And so in order to raise money for a skate park, you first need to have some design. So we needed to raise a bit of money so we could have some design presented. And then we had to raise the money. And so we did involve about 400 skaters in helping us design that skate park, because skaters know best what kind of skate park they would like. So we had workshops several years ago. And then between 2004 and 2008, we raised money. We raised $2.5 million. And then in the beginning of 2008, the economy changed and we kind of had to restructure the whole project.
But now you're ready to go, finally.
We are.
As we said, some of the people who make up the local skateboarding community have been frustrated by the long delays. And there was a public meeting yesterday at the Boston Public Library to talk about design possibilities. And here are the comments of one of the people who was there. This is Jamie Cumming.
This has gone on so long that there literally were kids who were teenagers when this first started who are now graduated from college and don't even live here anymore. And I think in the entire decade of wasted time and red tape and all the crap that's gone on, there's kids that have just missed out. This thing is, it's been a carrot dangled in front of them for so long. And I personally have given up having any hope for this.
But Renata, you believe this is not another false start. This will actually happen this time.
Oh, I do believe. I believed in that skate park from the beginning. I realized this has been a difficult path. But I very much believe we can build it, and that the all the forces are aligning that it will happen now.
Renata, in some ways, even generationally, you might not be the kind of person some would expect to push a skate park. So why have you made this one of your causes?
Well, I have a son who is a skateboarder, and he was involved in the early design meetings at the Boston Public Library. He's still a skater. But it's very much part of the mission of the Charles River Conservancy to make those urban parklands more active, more accessible, more attractive, and to bring young people to the river, particularly in a place that really can't be used for regular park use. It's underneath the ramps. It's a lot of noise there from the freeway, from the diesel trucks, from Boston sand and gravel. It's the perfect place for a skate park. So in that sense, it beautifully fits the mission of the Charles River Conservancy to provide this facility.
As I mentioned, Canton Russell is also with us. He's on cell phone at an airport. He's a former professional skateboarder. And Canton, when we were arranging to have you come on our show, you had mentioned to one of our producers that not all the skateboarders you've talked with have seen Renata as being on their side. I'm wondering what you meant by that.
Well, I think that obviously, like the guy on the soundbite mentioned, that you know, it has a long history of frustration because it's really hard to be patient to have something that, you know, doesn't really exist in Boston. There's a lot of skateboarders in the Boston skate scene for many years, and since they don't really have a place to go to legally ride, it can be frustrating when they're just constantly going to places they can't legally ride. They're probably getting kicked out and things like that. So when everyone's so anxious to get the skate park built and done, and it's not happening, they tend to want to, you know, point the fingers and blame somebody. And I think since Renata has been that person who's kind of been the spearheaded and kind of figure person of the skate park movement, it's easy to say, well, maybe she's not doing a good enough job. It's her fault and things like that.
Listeners, again, we're talking about the Charles River Skate Park. It's a plan for a skateboard park. The hope is that construction will begin in March and it could open in December 2013. We want to know if you support that idea. It would be in the North Point area in East Cambridge under the Zakin Bridge. We're interested in your thoughts. 1-800-423-8255. You can also find us on Facebook and on our website. Canton, you know, as you know, for a long time, skateboarding has tended to have a reputation as a bit of a nuisance. I'm thinking of that bumper sticker, skateboarding is not a crime, sort of having to defend what you do. Borders were chased out of public spaces. Why do you think that we now see an embracing, particularly here in Boston?
Wait, one more time, that last part?
The idea that now, after sort of many people not being thrilled about skateboarding, why we suddenly seem to have this about turn in Boston to the point that we actually want to build a skate park for borders.
Well, I think that everybody in Boston probably just wants to see a place for them to go. I think there's probably people who have been against it in the past. But also, you know, when you're kicking people out of spots, you know, left and right, there's not really an alternative place for them to go. So they want to be able to say, hey, you can't ride here, but, you know, there is a public skate park that's opening up here underneath the bridge. So it's good to have an alternative solution for them to be able to say, hey, you know, we know that you can't ride in a lot of places in the city, but we do now have a place for you to go. So I think that they have just realized that just like basketball players, football players, soccer players, and a lot of other sports, you just have to be able to give them a good positive outlet to, you know, enjoy this kind of recreational activity. Because if you're not providing them a place to go and you're not giving them a skate park, your city becomes a skate park. And I know that's a slogan that Renata really likes. And the Tony Hawk Foundation and a lot of other people who have pushed to get skate parks around the country have used that motto. But it is really true that if you really don't give them a place to go, they're just continue to be in the streets where it may not be that safe or that great of a place for them to ride.
And Renata, you've mentioned that line. I've heard you mention it, that idea that if you don't build a skate park, the whole city will be a skate park. Is that part of your hope here, is that rather than have people in Copley Square skateboarding and chipping public monuments and that kind of thing, there'll be a better place for skateboarders to go?
I think our main goal is to create a place for them to practice, to show, and for people to watch them. That's the main purpose. I don't know how it will affect the entire city. That I don't know. That the future will show. But our purpose is to create a safe place, a beautiful place, right on the river's edge where they can gather, They can be at events, and people can watch them. It's a lot of fun to watch skateboarders.
Right, because I believe this would also be a spectator-friendly place where competitions might even be able to happen. So it's meant to be a real destination, not just for boarders, but for people who want to watch boarders.
It's a real destination, and if you haven't been to the spot there, this whole area, which used to be an industrial wasteland, which was the Cambridge dump, has been completely transformed with Big Dig mitigation funds, $100 million of Big Dig mitigation funds, $32 million of federal funds for a new bridge, a new building next door, EF, that will be a restaurant. So the whole area is transformed, and the skate park will be like the heart pumping in the middle of that park.
We have a caller who wants to weigh in. This is Steve calling from Lexington. And Steve, your thoughts about the Charles River Skate Park in the works?
Sure. For 10 years, I've been imagining this vision of Nancy standing in Copley Square at first trying to protect her sculptures, and then realizing that there was an opportunity to serve these kids in another way. That kind of transformation, that kind of vision is terribly important. And the same thing for Renata, somebody well-schooled in the elegance of European landscape to be able to adapt to something that was going to serve Boston's kids well. And I think both of those visions, both of those transformations, and the patience, thank God for the 10 years of patience, has just done the youth of Boston a great service.
Any downside you see to this, Steve?
All you need is to find exceptional people who will stay with it, and there are too few of those people.
Steve, thanks for calling. We should also note, Renata, I believe it's that the Department of... Tell us who would run it. The Department of Conservation and Recreation would manage it, and how would it be funded and maintained?
Yes. Well, the land originally belonged to the Mass Highway and the Massport Authority, and they merged into Mass DOT, who still own the site, but they are in the process of transferring to the Department of Conservation and Recreation. And once the Conservancy has built it, in close collaboration with DCR, this state agency will own it and maintain it and operate it.
Canton Russell with us by cell. Tell us a bit about what you hope for design, because many skate parks in the old days were pretty much just cement with some ramps. But designs have really come a long way. In fact, we have some on our website, our Radio Boston website, that our listeners can take a look at. Tell us what some of the latest trends for skate parks are and what you hope to see in this one.
I agree with what you were mentioning before about some of the previous skate parks being a little bit more disconnected, segregated. The previous attitude before was, you know, let's give these skaters a place to go, but let's keep them out of sight, out of mind, so we don't have to see these guys. And that really didn't work so well because you're not having good visibility and good connection to the rest of the community. I think the direction we're taking skate parks are of the mind and opinion that we need to make sure that these areas are integrated with the rest of the park as possible. So when you look at this design, as we develop this further, we want to make it more integrated into what's already there at the Charles River Park so that there is connections to pedestrian pathways and people can really appreciate the activity going on because you have nice spectator circulation around the park, you have nice sight lines and visibility into the park. And some of the features you can really appreciate because they're up in the air and they're very organic, sculptural. We're bringing in colors. We're bringing in natural materials and natural brick to kind of tie into Boston. As we all know, there's a lot of brick in Boston. And so why not go ahead and bring some of those aesthetics into the design so that the kids feel like they're more in a natural space instead of just, quote, unquote, a skate park where it's not like a, you know, a prison with these big high fences and they feel like they're being monitored. We just want them to kind of come in and come out and enjoy it like any other open space public park and to make them want to come back there and be able to spend the day there and feel good about it.
Listeners, let us know what design ideas you have about this idea for a Charles River skate park to be built and open next year. Whether you think that's a good use for that space, whether you wish it were becoming something else, we're at 1-800-423-8255. And we got a Facebook comment from Sam Nelson. He says, it would be cool if the elements were made out of miniature Boston landmarks, like have a half pipe that resembles Gillette Stadium, or do a grind across a miniature Tobin Bridge and land on the Zakum. Renata, have you sort of dug into this to get a sense of what you think should be there based on what you've learned about skate park design?
Well, in the many workshops that we had with skaters, they have expressed a desire to have elements that they skated on and that have either disappeared or have been illegal to skate on, that they be integrated into that design. And so the action sport design where Russell Canton, Canton-Russell works and Stantec, they have now taken these elements and integrated into the design. So there will be actually places that skaters know from around Boston that will be part of the skate park design.
One of our listeners also made a Twitter comment in answer to the question what features would like to see. This user, who calls himself Uncle Leo, said, "I would like to see a time machine to take me back to age 14. So, so we don't know if we can do that. But actually, at last night's meeting at the Boston Public Library, we did have a producer there, and she asked some local skateboarders what features they would like to see at the Charles River Skate Park. So here are the thoughts by Armin Bachman, who co-owns the Orchard Skate Shop in Alston.
We're looking to skate objects that are similar to what we'd find naturally in the streets and incorporate that into the design. So natural materials such as, you know, granite and the stuff that we're skating as it is, but also to have the opportunity to skate different styles of transition and different pieces that we don't normally find so often out here.
Kent Russell, is that a possibility that person's hope could come through?
Yes, and I actually did speak to that gentleman last night. The Orchard Skate Shop and the people who work there have been involved, to my knowledge, in this project since day one, and are big supporters of the project. And some of their comments to improve the design from last night were all very doable and actually very minor. The people who were really invested in giving good input in the design actually stayed for, you know, the meeting till the very end, and we would got to look at the design a little bit more in depth on the boards that we posted up in the meeting, and we were actually able to mark up and redline some of those ideas and things that they'd like to add and enhance the design we already kind of presented to just provide some preliminary input. But yeah, we actually, like I mentioned before, the goal was to keep it as natural as possible. Bringing in natural elements and materials like the brick, like the granite, is definitely a possibility to put in there. And also, like you mentioned, just putting in a lot of features that normally aren't found in Boston. And with the size of the park and the complexity in the area we have to work within, that's all totally very doable.
We also have a caller from Gloucester, Mark. And Mark, your thoughts about the Charles River Skate Park?
Don't forget the BMX riders and the inline skaters. They're a sizable population as well. So you're really serving a threefold group of people, including the skateboarders.
And Renata, will this park be open to BMX riders and inline skaters, as Mark asks?
Oh, absolutely. This park will be open. It will be integrated into the parklands. It won't have a fence around. So they can go there. And of course, that affects the design. And maybe Canton Russell can address that. It has to be built very sturdily so that bikes will not damage it. And that is very much part of the design of that skate park.
So, Canton, that is part of the plan?
Yes, every skate park that we design, I've been in touch with a lot of professional BMX riders. When I was a professional skateboarder for 13 years, I actually was able to tour with a lot of BMX riders also. So I got a good sense talking with everybody on what works and what doesn't work for BMX, basically all wheeled activities to ride together without causing problems. And we have developed a good ratio of spacing that's needed to make sure there's clear lines of sight of flow through the park so that people can see each other coming. There are some parks that are not as conducive for that kind of riding. Some parks are very organic and connected, so you don't really know where you're starting or stopping because everything is flowing really fast together, and there are blind spots in areas where you can't see somebody coming. So we've addressed that solution with having areas that are a little bit more all-wheels friendly areas in there. And the other thing we do that we've developed is a really good bulletproof metal edging where we put a lot around the edges of areas that some of these riders might want to, what we call, grind on, where they're kind of jumping up on their boards or bikes and landing on the edges of these, like, ledges, and they're doing tricks where they're kind of grinding and sliding across, ledges and stairs and railings. And we've developed really good materials, metal materials, and construction methods that will keep those areas safe from, getting chipped or abused unnecessarily for many, many years without having to worry about maintenance.
We're talking about the Charles River Skate Park, scheduled to be built and open next year. And we have a question from one of our callers. This is Connor from Somerville. And Connor, what is it you're wondering about the skate park?
Well, in general, I think it's a great idea. I'm excited for it. I've been following the project for a bit, and I remember some old drawings and blueprints showed not just a half pipe, but a full pipe and a pretty big one. And then more recently, I saw that wasn't in the plans anymore. And I'm wondering, is that still on the table? And if not, why?
Renata or Kenton, which one of you would like to take that question?
I can address that.
Sure. All right.
From what we've seen between the last public meeting, and I believe it was 2007 or 2008, till now, the feedback we got was the users really didn't want the full pipe. That was the majority feedback we got. And then we saw a cradle. And the latest information we had, and we didn't really hear anything last night about saying that we really have to have a cradle. But what happened is back in the mid-2000s, those features were really popular. They're kind of unique. You didn't see them in a lot of skate parks. Now, all of a sudden, in all the parks that we're seeing across the country, a lot of the people who like to ride the transition bowls are saying, you know what, the cradles and the full pipes and the overhead pockets are fun for a little while. We really want to be able to carve around the entire edges of these areas and have continuous 20 to 30-foot long grinds and board slides without having to negotiate some of these other features that take up a lot of space, a lot of cost, and maybe aren't quite as functional, where you maybe have one big slow bowl course and a cradle or a full pipe, but then you're only able to have so much space because it takes up so much room to develop that big feature. Now you're able to have two or three different kind of transition bowls at different heights and different depths and levels of experience. But we can still definitely put some fun bells and whistles on there, keep it creative, keep it fun and challenging, but not necessarily maybe have a huge capsule or full pipe, which was what I was told in the feedback meetings was something that they stayed away from and changed their mind and basically didn't necessarily want that. Mm.
Kenton, we only have about a minute left, but we just got a call from Nancy Schoen herself, the person who is the impetus behind all this. And Nancy, in about 20 or 30 seconds, I'm interested in your thoughts on finally seeing this happen.
Well, I'm sorry the kids are complaining, but I just wanted to talk about the fact that these guys are such fabulous, fabulous skilled athletes. They're marvelous. And I want people to understand what really skilled athletes they are. And thanks to Renata for doing a fabulous job. And I love, love, love the new design that's happening.
Glad to hear it. Nancy, thanks for calling. We've been talking about the Charles River Skate Park, scheduled to be completed in December 2012. The final skate park design will be unveiled at the next public meeting on October 10th. Go to our website for more information. Thanks, Renata von Scharner, for coming into the studio. Renata is the president of the Charles River Conservancy, which is heading this up. And thanks also to Canton Russell. He's a former professional skateboarder, now a project manager with Stantec, the company designing the skate park. Canton, thank you.
Thank you.
Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.